welcome to Punta Vista. This is a bonus episode. I'm Ben, and I'm Jack Reacher, a hugely enormous, yes, highly intelligent former military, yes, policeman living in a house with three other Jack Reachers. Also with me, having used his highly analytic mind to determine which Jack Reacher has been falsifying records on the chore wheel, it's Jack Reacher. It's Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, Jack. I cannot tell you how much I was going to do this exact intro if you didn't do this intro specifically.
Hmm. You were going to do Reacher House as well?
I was also going to do Reacher House, where we're all Jack Reacher, but each Reacher larger than the last.
Oh, that's good. Mm. I don't have that in mind.
I do enjoy the mental image of four identical Reachers, though, sort of just bumping into each other in the hallways.
Yeah, because they can't both go through a doorway at the same time. Yeah.
Sorry, not you first. He's quite polite, too. He's kind of like a nice guy.
Thanks, Reacher. Yeah, no worries, yeah. Reacher. So they've been filming, I think they just wrapped, like either yesterday or the day before, safe. I think. They wrapped filming in Queensland, the Reachers. Alan Richardson?
Alan Richardson. Yeah.
He was here. He was Brisbane.
That's crazy. We didn't know.
That's fucked. I know. So he was filming a movie with Owen Wilson, a movie called Runner. And Owen Wilson has been spotted a bunch. Like, someone did a man on the street interview with him.
Yeah, I've seen the Owen Wilson videos.
He was on James Street, just walking down James Street. Someone's like, oh, what up? It's Owen Wilson. How come no one said, oh, what up? It's Alan Richardson.
I would.
I would have.
I would, actually. I wouldn't even speak to him.
You would. Come on.
I'd be a scared little girl.
No, you'd talk to him. You'd go up to him. Imagine how good it feels, just put a hand on his bicep, looking up into his eyes.
Oh, yeah, like, can I swing on that thing? You get a little swing on it?
I hope you don't pick me up.
Bet you couldn't lift me up over here.
You're not strong enough to lift me up in your arms. Give me a big bear hug.
And then carry me to your hotel room. We don't have to tell your wife. You seem happily married based on your Instagram, but you can never tell.
Yep.
You can really never tell.
You can never tell. Maybe it's worth putting it to the test every now and then.
He's pretty Christian as well, so probably not.
I have a series of
cheating.
I could fix him.
I
bet there's some things you've never tried, Alan Richardson.
Yeah. I have a series of erotic marriage tests for Alan Richardson.
Also with me, using his lethal close combat skills to efficiently prepare a whole mess of nachos for all the Reachers, it's Jack Reacher. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, I'm blasting apart these onions with my elbow.
Yeah.
Bang! Minced. Yes. Garlic. Bang! Minced. Minced meat. Bang! Minced.
Are there any sequences of him cooking in the TV show?
No. He hasn't got time to cook. He always goes to the cafe.
I just watched season one. I've just finished season one. I watched it in 2 days.
There's a lot of jokes in season one about the uptight sheriff that he's paired. Well, the lead detective that he's paired with being like a real whole eating, clean foods freak.
Clean eating. It's like that's exactly what Jack Reacher would actually be like. To believe that this man is enjoyable to go out to dinner with, I doubt it.
This guy's got his macros.
He's got his macros.
Absolutely. When he goes to the stakeout, he brings something or other.
Jerky.
I can't remember what it is. Was it?
Beef jerky.
Beef jerky. Says, hey, have this. It's not going to spike your insulin. He knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He knows about that sort of stuff. Because he kind of knows about like everything.
About everything.
Yeah. He's kind of got like an encyclopedic knowledge of everything. And you can be hot and have that, I guess.
It's not crazy. It's not weird or comical to be really hot and really smart.
Yeah. He's got a photographic memory too.
In fact, you probably know some people who are really hot and really smart as well.
They can be anywhere. It could be anyone you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Think of the really hot people you know and consider that maybe in their internal life, they're actually super intelligent. They know about all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Well, they might just have like a mind that retains information.
Yes.
Really well.
Yeah. Good recall.
Yeah. And get this, it's useful information too.
Yeah.
Also with me, making up the two shoved together California kings that form the one giant bed we all sleep in together, it's Jack Reacher. Hi, Theo.
Hey. Simplify.
Reacher bed.
I don't think he was a Marine, was he?
No, I don't really know the difference.
He was in the Army.
Yeah, he was in the Army. He was in the Army, which is like the least interesting part of his whole deal. Hey, I was doing some Jack Reachering this morning. We found I drove to get some bread because the toast that Noah had ordered was then refused. when it was received before, you say, oh, I actually want, I changed my mind, I want peanut butter. Mm-hmm. So I go for a drive, I come back, and there's this like huge goofy puppy on the road. I say, hey boy. I get a little closer. I say, hey girl, what's happening? Where you, where's your DJ. Home? And she's just like bounding all over the place.
You're checking the dog's pronouns.
And I did a bit of Jack Reachering, and I'm like, I saw some, I'm looking at all the different houses, and I saw one that
you
had.
You were looking around, you did a bit of a reach around?
Did a little reach around. And I saw one that had a fence, and it had a gate, and then on that gate it had like bamboo sheeting reaching even higher. Mm-hmm. And I go, that looks like the perfect yard for a dog owner.
You could put a pooch in there.
You could put a pooch in there. It's pretty close to where I found the dog. And then I thought, that would mean I'd have to talk to somebody. So I kept walking with the dog, and I was on the phone to RSPCA for like 20 minutes before they answered. And then someone across the road says, hey, I know that dog. It lives over there, and pointed to the house that I Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher.
You Jack Reacher.
That's you Jack Reacher'd it. That's amazing. Social engineering.
Yes.
Analytical mind.
Yes.
Affinity with animals.
I picked up the dog in my huge arms, mm-hmm. and I tossed it over the fence.
Yeah. No longer my problem. Goodbye.
Funny prank for the neighbor to do, though, if the neighbor that they don't like comes home later and finds a big dog locked in their backyard.
Yeah. Yeah, just over that one.
Yeah, Can you say the dog is stinky?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, over that one with the shitty whitewashing.
Yeah. Yeah, with the grass they never cut. Yeah, put it over that fence. Jack Reacher, annoyed neighbor. That's why he needs to be a drifter, you know?
Otherwise, funny imagining his body, though. Like, imagine four Jack Reachers standing on each other's shoulders in a big tower.
I'm imagining stack that them right up. Now.
Just a big muscle tower.
A big old stack of Reachers.
Imagining that all weekend.
Hmm. What if the tower fell over on you, Lucy?
Oh, no. What if it fell on me and I was completely crushed by all, like, 400 kilograms of Reacher? I would hate that.
Yeah, you'd be killed instantly.
Yeah. What a way to go, though.
Seeing Jack Reacher and wanting to get squashed by him, pretty natural. We talk about natural things in Nature Corner. Country roads, take me home to the place. This is from WLNS in Michigan. Michigan Department of Natural Resources cancels goose euthanasia program.
Ah. Oh no.
Number one, you could have made this more popular by calling it goosenasia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People would be willing to get behind that, I think. I want to come down and see what this goosenasia is all about.
It should be a program where you get to kill a goose.
Yeah.
Like, it's euthanasia, like the goose has no quality of life, but you also get the experience of killing one of God's most awful creations.
We're not like killing it for no reason. Like, it's a goose that needs to be euthanized. Yeah.
And quickly as well. Like, there's only the moment of recognition that I've sort of like sped past before they realize that they've been cleanly cut in half by my katana.
Yeah. Oh, because you've been like running past. Like head down, arms up
arms
behind your back.
Back exactly. Like there are people to go. Yeah.
I'm sure there are people who go to university and it's like, what's your dream job? Oh, goose euthanasia.
Yeah. I want to be the goothanizer.
Yeah. I want to be beheading all of the geese that we have convicted and found unable to live in society.
And you used to be able to just go to TAFE to learn these skills.
Yeah. You're set for.
It's degree creep.
It's degree creep. Now you need a master's. 3 years, you got to do your honors. You got to do your master's.
Sorry, we're looking for someone at least 2 years' experience killing geese.
Yeah. And during the whole time at university, you haven't laid hand on a single hammer.
Mm-hmm. Which is the first tool they instruct you in goothanasia.
Yeah.
Actually, like, the ball peen hammer is one of the more advanced ones. They start you off with a Gallagher-style mallet. Because it's just kind of easier to get a bead on a goose-sized target with that.
Yeah, the hammer, you got to hold the neck.
Yeah, if you're doing a ball-peen hammer, you got to get like a dead-on strike on a goose-sized skull with a goose skull-sized object while holding an upset goose. It's actually far more advanced a technique than you would think.
I don't want to be holding it. You got to have like a baseball bat, something where you can get a good run-up.
I guess I really did bring this on myself, didn't I?
Or maybe like a Happy Gilmore-style golf swing. Upward motion
driver
towards the head of the goose. I reckon you could take that thing clean off. Goose stands there for a second before its body realizes what's happening, falls over. That's good TV.
And if you're getting upset at this, well, they kind of got a bad attitude, don't they? Geese?
They do. And also, fun statistic for you, 100% of the geese that we have talked about euthanizing, not real.
Yes.
None of them have been real geese.
Yeah, we're
so
not talking about the
in
real
our fantasies.
Ones.
No, we're not just randomly picking from the corpus of geese that exist. We're conjuring completely imaginary geese. We're not inciting violence against existing geese. These are just geese we've constructed in our minds.
And
it's not like
existing geese are quite rude anyway.
Yes. Mm. And even if we were, don't they deserve it a little bit?
They kind of do. Bit. Have you seen the way they talk to us?
The Michigan Department of Natural Resources has cancelled its controversial goose euthanasia program.
It's been controversial. Why? Someone say something racist?
Torn.
People are mad that they can't also come down and do it. I think Lucy's right, and I think we should be using this as a way to like raise money for local infrastructure for the council, whatever it might be, by maybe raffling or auctioning these tickets to get to come down and kill a goose yourself.
Yes, goose-anasia raffle.
Yeah.
The MDNR issued a letter on May 9th stating they have decided to pause the program for this year. They add that permits will not be issued this year and no lethal population control measures will be taken.
Oh, permits.
WOOD-TV reports that Michigan lawmakers expressed concerns about the program in a letter sent to the National Resources Commission within the DNR in late April.
I'm sorry, but Wood TV?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Michigan State Senator Dana Polahanke says the MDNR will continue to research alternative options for managing human-goose conflicts and health and human safety concerns for areas with overabundant Canada goose populations.
Human-goose conflicts.
Yeah.
Oh, so is this just culling or are these...
It's culling. I think it's just culling.
I feel
culling.
Like you're using the word euthanasia incorrectly in this circumstance. Yeah. It's not a mercy killing. It's a culling.
No. Yeah. It's not like these are geese that have lived beyond a point where they're enjoying their life.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
As far as we can tell, the goose is not currently yearning for sweet release.
Yeah. Yes. These geese do not have hip dysplasia.
Yeah.
The geese are not asking to go gently. They are. They're not actually asking to be killed at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're sort of swimming and honking.
Terrorizing children.
Yeah.
Quote, it is important for the health and safety of our citizens and the management of our natural resources that we continue to use the goose management tools at our disposal.
I want to talk about the hammer.
Driver.
The mallet. Yeah.
Ball peen.
Nail gun.
Goose management tools. Can you just bring up the GMT? Yeah, just want to grab
something.
We've
actually got our GMTs in the cloud now. Decentralized GMTs. All right. So what are the options? So there are alternative options for managing the human-goose conflicts that don't involve killing the geese. Rounding them up, putting them in the back of a U-Haul and then just dropping them into like the next town over?
I've realized that there's something about the shape of a goose that makes us talk about melee weapons more than ranged weapons.
I think it's a thin neck, right?
It's the thin neck. It's got to be the thin
neck. You could just shoot it in the body, but you don't want to. You want to hit that neck.
I was just lost in thought about how hard I think it would be to hit a goose with a javelin.
Yeah, it'd be so hard.
Yeah, very difficult. Whereas if I can get close to a goose and the thing is, you know, it was a good extension of my arm, then also I'm kind of keeping the goose at range. I don't have to be as worried about its hissing, its snapping, its little saw pattern teeth.
You know
don't like
I think
that.
We need to bring back for goose management tools. I don't know if these have, this might just be me, this is kind of anecdotal, but I feel like these have kind of fallen out of favor as a loadout.
Mm-hmm.
The net and the trident.
Oh, the net and the trident.
Sort of Colosseum style.
I think Goose is going to have a hard time with the net.
It's very, very weak to net type attacks. I was thinking the bowler.
Oh.
What happened to the bowler?
Yeah, that's true. I guess getting
bowlers were in like the 2010s.
Is that
true? Is that true?
Yeah, there was like a bowler gun in every second game.
Weren't they making them in real life for cops? The guns that like you fire them and they wrap around people's feet and they...
Yeah. Classic bowler.
Yeah, they make that noise. Yeah.
The thing about that though is that like humans are like 50% legs. So you got a real big range to target when you fire your bowler gun at someone.
With a goose, if you get the neck, what's it doing on the neck?
Well, it's dragging. So the bowlers are heavy, and it's going to drag the head to the ground.
Yeah.
Well, then it becomes a bolo if it hits the neck, and you've just given the goose a charming fashion accessory.
Yeah, no, he looks great.
True. Yeah,
Andrew.
A little bit of southwestern charm. She says they will continue to prioritize non-lethal techniques, including habitat modification, filling it with people that are trying to kill them. That's one way to modify it. Elimination of feeding, scare tactics, repellents, and nest/egg destruction.
You ever tried scaring a goose?
You don't hear the phrase scare tactics used in like a literal description of something someone is trying. It's always like... you're using it to say that what the other person is doing is hyperbole. This is scare tactics.
Literal scare tactics.
Putting on a clown mask and going up to the...
What is a goose's biggest fear?
Yeah.
It's not man. I can tell you that much. I fear no man.
Maybe a bigger goose. Maybe we need to start getting a human into a large goose costume.
Yeah,
and then starting to assert dominance and claim territory.
A local individual that already has a large goose costume and maybe goes to conventions dressed as the goose.
Yep.
Maybe a gator's got to give a goose paws, right?
Yeah, probably. Maybe,
probably.
Yeah.
What if they just put
it in gators? Talk like non-lethal options, I'm thinking stun gun.
I'm thinking knockout gas.
Taser. Yeah.
In October 2024, the Michigan Department of Natural Resources said the goose population in some areas across the state is out of control. To resolve the issue, it was initially planned that the organization would euthanize flocks by gassing them.
Oh.
Don't do that.
Look, we're all for, like, hypothetically knocking the top off a goose.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about war crimes.
Honestly, guillotine's probably the better option, right?
They're so weak to guillotines.
They're weak to guillotines.
It's a critical hit every time.
Yeah. They got so much room in there. You don't have to be
super...
Seems
like the kindest option.
You deploy a full guillotine that uses 3 bars of your meter?
Oh, I just realized what's the perfect melee weapon for a goose or a group of geese. It is, we're going way back here, a scythe.
Oh, you want to harvest the geese?
Yeah, you could get more than one in a single strike. You know, you could deal crowd damage.
Yeah.
Oh,
multiplier.
Yeah.
You're kind of getting the satisfaction of the golf club swing, but it's also sort of like a mobile guillotine.
It's the gassing geese, huh?
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Gassing geese in Michigan.
Gassing geese. I'm going to deem that an unnoble activity. That's
such a good like guy with an alternative radio show called Arms. They're gassing the geese in Michigan. And you're okay with that? The MDNR says the gassing method is approved by the American Veterinary Medical Association. Yeah, well, you slip them $50, they'll approve anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what they're like.
Here's a fitty. You tell them it's okay. You tell the news it's okay to gas the geese.
Do we have to do it? No? All right.
Guy
you
in a
asking
white coat,
me to gas the geese?
Folding a bill perfectly in half, slipping it in his breast pocket, turning around to the cameras. We love it. Gas them. Yeah. Gas them all. Gas every goose. In April, a leader from the group In Defense of Animals said they designed a billboard reading, "Tell Governor Whitmer don't gas geese."
Yeah, okay. Probably don't gas geese.
Don't gas geese. We agree. Punta Vista says, don't gas geese.
Don't gas geese.
The stuff we said, that's funny and that's fine. The stuff about the golf clubs and the bowlers and all that kind of stuff, that's fine.
Yes.
Gassing them, that seems a bit on the nose.
Distasteful.
Engage the goose in an honorable battle. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. You need to meet it on the field.
Yes.
Nude, unarmed.
Ooh.
I'm not going that far.
Hey, equal terms. How else are you going to be equal with a goose? If anything, you have to be doing it tiptoe style with your knees in your shoes, pretending to be roughly of goose height. You got a Gary Oldman it.
Mm.
The leader said the sign was strategically put on I-96 ahead of the meeting to spread awareness. The DNR said killing the birds is always the last option, but sometimes has to be done.
I feel like they're just a keystone species, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. We'll have complete ecological collapse within 20 years.
Take the geese out?
I think, was it Einstein that said if the geese were ever to vanish from the face of the earth, humanity would be extinct within 20 years?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I think he might have said it about bees and with a completely different number, but I only remember sort of that facts exist, not specifically what the fact is.
Right.
During public comment, Karen Stamper shared her concerns. Which is it? Public health or just convenient justification? Stamper continued. I mean, there are so many things that are wrong with this.
Why don't we eat geese anymore?
Yeah, what happened to a cooked goose?
Yeah, in the Christmas Carol. That's what Tiny Tim's having for fucking Christmas dinner. It's
a delicious roast goose.
They got too much gas in them now.
Yeah, we gas the geese too much.
They got chlorine gas in them. You know how like Texas DNR, a while ago I think we spoke about this, they were putting out recipes for stuff you can do with wild boar you catch to be like, hey, we've got this invasive pest species, it's sustainable, you should kill them, cook them.
Mm.
Make a Texas-style chili with feral pig meat. What about goose recipes for the Michigan DNR?
Bring back goose. Get a little retro 70s Christmas goose.
Yep.
Goose in aspic?
English food, it's in right now.
Right here on BBC's Good Food, there is a Gordon Ramsay supplied recipe for Christmas roast goose. You could still be roasting a goose.
You could do the Ramsay goose.
Imagine if you're doing like Friendsmas and you get to dinner time and you're putting a fucking goose out on the table. Everyone would be losing their shit.
Yeah. You say, oh, this? Just a 4 to 5.5 kilogram fresh goose that I've roasted?
I harvested this goose in combat. Myself.
Yeah. Fresh Canada goose.
I challenged this goose.
Fully nude, and I made sure it was aware of me before I approached it. Mano a mano. Mano
a What do they call the people that are going out there, they're hunting their own food, they're learning how to hunt, they're learning how to skin and clean an animal.
Murdivores. They got to kill it themselves.
Murdivores.
Yeah, I think that's what they call it. You can only eat it if you've murdered it. Yeah, that's a
but
murderbore.
You're heading out there with the shotgun gloves from Fallout.
Yeah.
Blast a goose to pieces.
You've got like a roast goose on the table that has like craters of flesh removed from its body. I actually harvested this myself.
It's like 50% pellets by volume.
We'll just pick around the shot. Maybe they could make this like a special Michigan dish, like a feral goose roast.
That Michigan
could
be goose roast.
A Michigan goose roast could be a new bit of regional new bullshit tradition. For them.
Yeah. Ooh, like we're eating the culled kangaroo. They can eat the culled goose.
How about this, guys? Ad, like
they're
tagline.
Making us eat the goose.
Tagline for their ad campaign for this. What's good for the goose is good for the Michigander.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Yes. $1,000 idea.
Big billboard up.
$800 idea. Easy.
Solid $500 for that idea, I tell you.
One $50 bill for that idea.
Folden money. That's a Folden money idea.
That could be a bit of regional bullshit. Let's look at some other regional bullshit in regional bullshit.
Regional bullshit. Every little town has got their own bullshit. Regional bullshit. Every little town has just got to have it.
This comes to us from KGUN in Arizona.
The gun.
Community pushback grows over proposal to replace metric signs on I-19.
Good.
Yeah.
Replace?
Yeah, I think the community should push back on this.
Yeah.
A unique stretch of highway in southern Arizona could soon lose what many residents say makes it special. The U.S. Department of Transportation is proposing to convert the kilometer-based signage along Interstate 19, the only such highway in the country, to the standard U.S. system of miles, a change that's drawing concern and criticism from the Green Valley community.
Saying,
it's actually insane.
That is kind of fucking bonkers that this exists.
Yeah, because Americans don't naturally understand the system of kilometers, as we know from Americans on the internet.
From like talking on this podcast or posting. Yeah. Isn't it crazy that like if you ever say a number in another measurement system, they start screeching?
Mm-hmm.
They just start screaming. They lose their shit. It's 30 degrees. It's so cold. Calm down. These different
we also
numbers.
Think it's cold, but for a different reason.
The 63-mile corridor, which runs from Tucson to the U.S.-Mexico border, has long used metric measurements, a decision made in the 1980s to facilitate cross-border travel and trade. Because okay. obviously...
I'm sorry, do they use kilometers in Mexico?
Yeah, they use metric in Mexico. They use metric in Canada. So, like, you
so
would
it's
think
literally just straight over the border.
You're bracketed on either side by these countries that are using, like, normal measurements. And you still are just completely unable to do the complex conversion maths required to go between those two numbers. In addition to metric units, the highway features mile markers. But now, DOT spokesperson Nate Sizemore told the Wall Street Journal the agency wants to, quote, restore American standards by remeasuring the route and replacing the signs.
I mean, you don't have to remeasure the route.
I don't think you've got to remeasure it.
You just
it's sort of divide by 1.6.
Yeah, so. Divide. Sorry.
You've got to find out how many miles this thing is.
This is going to cost us millions of dollars. While no timeline or formal proposal has been released, the local response has been swift. Residents and business leaders say the existing metric signs are not just functional, but a part of Green Valley's identity. Quote, what's wrong with being unique? Asked Bill Berkeley, a Green Valley resident.
It shouldn't be unique. Do it everywhere.
We've got the shortest interstate in the country, and it's in kilometers, not miles. That's a winner. There's not many places in the US where you get a little math problem while you're driving.
Yeah.
I don't think you probably want math problems while you're driving, but...
I do. I want math problems while I'm driving. Give
I don't
to
think
me
it
over the radio.
Keeps you entertained.
Yeah. It's not like a problem. You just divide it by one number and then you've got the other number. It's not like you're sitting there being like, you're not doing integrals on it to figure out what the fucking number is.
You also don't need to know as well how far away. So you're just driving there,
you'll
right?
Get there.
You'll get there
when you get there.
Yeah.
Just enjoy the drive, brother.
Just enjoy the ride.
Surely nobody's using the actual signs on the road to know how far they are away from anything. Yeah. Anyway, you just look at down at your shit on your dashboard or your phone. You go,
yeah,
26 minutes.
Not important anymore.
Sometimes when I'm leaving Brisbane and I'm driving slightly north of it, I want to know how far away Darwin is.
That is fun. Oh, yeah. I'm this much closer to Darwin. Still very far away.
Still, yeah.
I don't have... my car is immune to phone mounts.
Yeah.
I've tried the ones that stick to the glass. I've tried the ones that stick to the dash. I've tried the ones that go in the aircon vents, and all of them have found a way to fall off at some point. So I can't really mount a phone anywhere. So I'm using those signs. I'm looking at them. I'm going, oh, being Coffs Harbour in 150 kilometers.
I got a real good one of those ones that goes in the vent, Ben. I need to go back to the service station I was at in northern New South Wales and get another one for you.
Mine broke the vents.
Broke the vents?
Like snapped the little vents on the inside, so now I can't. Yeah, no good. But it's okay because my aircon doesn't work, so it wasn't working in the first place anyway. This isn't the first time the metric signs have come under scrutiny. In 2009, a similar proposal by the DOT was halted after then-Governor Jan Brewer intervened. Whether this latest push gains traction remains to be seen. Steve Elliott, public information officer at the Arizona Department of Transportation, provided the following statement. Kilometer signage on Interstate 19 dates to the time when the federal government planned to convert to the metric system. This coincided with the freeway's completion in the 1970s.
That's so funny that they're like, okay, well, everything's in place to convert to the metric system. This is a goer. We're going to put our first sign in. And then probably all of the rest of the signs.
Yeah,
so they had this, and then they just went, nah.
Nah, fuck it.
That's crazy. All right.
Yeah. Pretty nuts.
And then they went, psych, to this,
because we
to this one state.
When did Australia convert over? It would have been around the same time, right? It was a real sliding doors moment.
I think Sliding Doors came out in like 1997.
Yeah,
okay, so we started making the switch in like the mid-60s and were done by the mid-70s. So they could have been us.
Oh, this could have been. Did we have miles and stuff?
But for the grace of God, oh yeah, absolutely. We were paying for things in pounds and shillings.
Yeah. In like the middle of the century, everyone in the world was using it, but then everyone was like, wait a second, this fucking sucks.
This is stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
One crazy little country. One plucky little group of oddballs.
Yeah. Keeping their identity.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so important when like there's so much going on in the world. There's all these big players that are like, you must have a system that makes sense.
Yeah.
If you want to know the next unit, you just times it by 1,000.
Yes.
Yeah, or divide it by 1,000 if you're going down. They said, no. Life's not about that. Life's not about being able to easily convert between things.
Yes.
It's not about being able to kind of move from distances to temperatures to whatever else might be going on. Leave them separate. Take things slower. Mm. Make things make less sense.
Pull over to the side of the road and get your pad and pen out.
Yes.
Just figure it out. Figure it out in your head.
I will defend
using like inches and feet for height, because when someone in Australia is like, I'm 200 centimeters, I don't know what that is.
Like, whoa.
Well, what do you mean by that?
I mean, there are things that feet and inches are more practical for on a day-to-day basis. I just don't think you should build your whole society around it.
Yeah, but if you measure things in centimeters, it sounds bigger.
That's also true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the other day I saw a fucking insane mnemonic for remembering the number of feet in a mile. five tomato, which sounds kind of like 5280. And that's how you remember how many feet are in a mile. I guess they're saying tomato, so that probably makes more sense to them. 5280.
I could easily remember one number.
Yeah. Hey, Americans, if you don't know how to convert from a meter, which is our kind of like standard short distance thing, to a kilometer, have a think about how it might be done.
Yes. Just guess. Use your rudimentary knowledge of Greek or Latin and just sort of get there on your own terms. For now, I-19 continues to offer a rare sight for American drivers, signs marked in kilometers, and Green Valley residents seem determined to keep it that way. Good on them.
Yeah.
Good on them.
Cute.
It's kind of a boring thing to have in your town. But
yeah.
Should like really lean in. Make it like Britain Town.
Yeah. I was going to say it's kind of boring, but also I like the fact that it's annoying the rest of America.
Yeah.
I think do it on that basis. Lean in on that basis.
I feel like they're trying to do this as part of that same like renaming shit to like the Gulf of America or whatever, where they're like, in this country we use Imperial. These guys are holding out. This is a kilometer town, kilometer stretch of the highway. We do things in metric here.
They should make the town all metric though. I don't want to go to your Green Valley pub and order like a 15-ounce or 16-ounce beer, you know? Yeah.
Hello, I'd like 560 milliliters of beer, please. Yeah. And they'll give it to you. And what do you call this? We don't know. They should have little roadside attractions called like Metric Land.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, look at this. It's a giant wall thermometer in Celsius. It's fucking crazy. This liter of water weighs a kilogram and it's 1,000 cubic centimeters. Ooh!
How did they make it do that? Spooky.
America, it's basically a zoo. It's time for Zoo Watch.
Z00Watch. Z00Watch. Clever girl. Z00Watch.
This comes to us from WREG in Tennessee, the Reg. Komodo dragon eats shoe thrown into zoo exhibit.
A That's mine now.
That's his shoe.
You people can't be trusted with any of these animals.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't throw your shoe.
What do you think he's going to do? Like, put it on? No, that'd be good.
That'd be really
That's
good.
That's good gear.
Yeah.
If you were the person that made the TikTok video of the Komodo dragon wearing the shoe, you're getting $1 million at least from deals. Yeah. They're putting
Komodo
you on
dragon.
Jimmy Fallon.
He's crazy.
If you react in a goofy enough way, they're putting you on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
If you got like an annoying laugh and you're like, that lizard's wearing a shoe. They got a shoe on that lizard. You're going on the TV for sure. A Komodo dragon ingested a Memphis Zoo guest's shoe. Jesus. A Memphis Zoo guest's shoe after they threw it over the glass of the exhibit on Thursday, according to the Memphis Zoo. In a Facebook post, the zoo said a guest threw a red shoe over the top of the glass at the Komodo dragon exhibit, and the Komodo dragon ate it.
Great.
Theo, did you just post a picture of Komodo dragons having sex in the group chat?
Why'd you do that?
Or is it just two Komodo dragons on top of each other?
They're having a sex.
Okay.
Having a
but
sex?
But I don't know if it was me that posted it.
We'll look into that after the show. I think we'll try and... It's always important to
we'll
us
go
to
through
hold
the
each other
logs.
And ourselves accountable. Yeah.
Could have been anyone. The zoo thanked a guest who spoke up so animal care and veterinary teams could immobilize the dragon. It was transported to the zoo's animal hospital where the shoe was removed.
Hey, I think he's eating a shoe.
What's
that
bad
dragon ate a shoe?
Now, I know I ask you guys generally to stay out of the document, but if you could have a little peep in there, I've got a picture of the shoe.
Yeah, I've seen it.
In the document.
It is a croc with the, what are the little things on it called?
Gibbets?
Giblets. Giblets. The croc's giblets.
Giblets. Yeah, giblets, I think. it's not a regular style croc, though. It's like a clog style croc.
Oh, it's like clog style.
It's got the closed-in back, not the open back.
Yeah.
And it appears to be solid, although I don't know if it's just hardened because of the venom of the Komodo dragon.
It's hard to tell.
And also,
I think this is from a Dutchman.
Has it got flair on it?
It's got gibbets.
Yeah,
it's
got pieces of flair? That's gibbets. What it is.
That's what
okay.
those are. That's what those are called. According to the zoo, the dragon Ophelia is expected to make a full recovery.
Beautiful name
yeah,
for a
I mean,
dragon.
I feel like they're eating nice. Shit like this all the time. I feel like a Komodo dragon will eat a rock.
Yeah, how's this thing
happens.
Surviving in the wild? You saw a red Dutch croc, Dutch clog croc with gibbets on it, and you thought, yummy.
Yummy dinner time for
That's
me,
That's dinner
Ophelia.
For me. Ophelia's dinner.
Is Ophelia the character that drowns herself in...
in Hamlet?
Hamlet? Is that right? Interesting. Sort of presaged this, because in a way she tried to drown herself by eating the clog-style croc.
Yeah, it's kind of giving Ophelia.
It's, nominative determinism. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of those, I think. Any movies older than like 50 meters. 50 years.
I didn't catch that one when it was out at the cinemas. I missed it. Lucy, have you ever seen the Hamlet, the one with Ethan Hawke in it? Where where it's like modernized and he's doing all of the soliloquies as he's doing them as pieces to camera for like a video art thing that he's doing.
No.
Because he's a little soft art boy.
He's an angel.
He's from 2000. Yeah. I think they call it Hamlet 2000.
Hamlet 2000.
Hamlet 2K.
Yeah.
Hamlet 2K.
Same week as Dracula 2000, actually. Hamlet 3000 is crazy. You should watch it. I reckon you'll love it, Lucy. It's great.
Oh, because it's got Ethan Hawke in it? Yeah.
Yeah, right. And Julia Stiles as Ophelia. Kyle MacLachlan as Claudius.
Oh, my goodness.
Liev Schreiber? Bill Murray as Polonius? What a stacked cast. Sam Shepard, Steve Zahn, and the rest. The Memphis Zoo reminded guests that their animals have specific diets and not to feed them food, shoes, or anything at all.
Food, comma, shoes.
Why'd you throw your shoe over the fence? You should be banned from zoos, right?
Yeah.
There should be
a
blanket zoo ban.
They're probably random.
No zoo list.
Yeah.
Oh, you reckon it was like asterisk throws shoe at you?
Yeah. I do think it was that.
Yes, it was asterisk.
I will not give the Komodo dragon taboobie hugs. There's like Is it the impulse to interact with the creature to be like...
It's got to be.
Yeah, because it, like, it's fun. You ever interacted with a monkey in like a enclosure where you can interact with a monkey? That's so fun.
I've never thrown a whole rotisserie chicken to a crocodile at this?
Conveniently, you can fit one of those in a handbag and they're not checking.
Yeah.
They're not looking in your bag when you go to the zoo, I don't think.
Hope not.
Komodo dragons, they can't eat clog-style crocs. But who knows whether or not they can eat beans? We talk about beans in the Bean Report. This is from IndyNR, which serves the Richmond Valley in Kyogle. Oldest man in Australia attributes long life to eating baked beans every day.
I love when they just always ask an old person, like, what's your secret? And what's they just say, like, the stupidest fucking shit I've ever heard. God.
Every 117-year-old lady that's ever been asked what her secret is, she's like, I drink a bottle of wine every day and I've been fucking my whole life. That's it. Suck a guy off every day.
Never that's get married. Secret. Sucked off every day.
It's always like some Italian, old Italian lady being like, come closer. You got to fuck. Vino, cigarettes, and fuck.
And then the man, it's just this. Yeah. I eat beans.
Oh, I eat beans.
Beans every day.
Yeah, I
feel like this is your grandpa.
I feel like this genre of reporting has a real issue with the whole like correlation versus causation thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, where they ask the person and they don't say that. This is what's making me live forever. They just say, well, this is the thing I do every day.
Yeah.
Beans. Cigarettes.
I'm the bean eater. That's me. Put it in the newspaper that I'm the bean eater. The oldest man in Australia lives close to Richmond Valley in Grafton. Okay, good. So I guess that's why you've put him in this newspaper.
Yeah. We're claiming him.
Ken Weeks has been officially confirmed as the oldest Australian man ever.
Ever?
Ever. He is 111 years and 189 days old. This article is from the past, so that number will be slightly bigger now.
Hmm. Unless he died.
Unless he's dead. Wouldn't that be tragic? State MP Richie Williamson visited Ken at Whiddon Aged Care Facility in Grafton. Born in 1913, Ken's life has been one of hard work and resilience. From building wartime airfields to co-owning a car dealership and later running a local fish and chip shop in Grafton, Mr. Williams said.
All very similar things.
Ken attributes his longevity to staying active and eating baked beans almost daily. Yes, baked beans.
Not hell that unusual, yeah, brother.
British.
It's not that crazy. You ate baked beans almost every day. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like six
except
days.
The days when you didn't.
Yeah.
Wow, sir, you mean to tell me you eat baked beans some of the time?
Me too.
Yeah, I also sometimes am eating baked beans. Quote, here's to Ken, a remarkable man with a remarkable life, Richie said. What an absolute Aussie legend.
Oh.
Yeah, that's an Aussie legend, all right. Guy who had a car dealership who's lived quite long from eating beans.
You didn't even fight in the war, Ken. You're on blast.
Oh man, actually I was on the fence about doing something in this episode to the extent that I didn't put it in the notes, but I've come around and I think I probably should. Give me 1 second.
Okay. Putting it back in the notes.
Okay, so this is something that I saw this week where I was like, I don't know, I guess I was kind of touched by it. I didn't really include it because I thought it's not funny per se. It is a bit interesting, but I just think there's maybe something powerful about this. And sometimes we can be a bit serious. You know, we can deal with some subject matter that's a little bit heavier.
We have feelings.
Yeah. Yep. Like you might only know us as people that do hilarious, perfect topical jokes for 2 hours a week, every week, but we actually have like inner lives and we're sensitive people and we think about stuff as well. So like, you know, we can be mature and we can talk about other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw was a man named Gary Wolfelt, who was in Lafayette, Indiana. He had the opportunity to write his own obituary that he had published in the newspaper. So he he sort of knew maybe that he didn't have much time left in this world, so he got an opportunity to sort of write it himself. And I think that's really interesting because, you know, he's getting to summarize his life in a way that he thinks is important. So this is a bit long, but bear with me here. Hello, I am Gary. I am completely dead now. I am surprised that it took this long to happen. I had several close calls throughout my lifetime. I guess that I was just lucky that something didn't get me long before now. I had a long series of events and mishaps that looking back should have killed me long ago. Sometime during my grade school years, while I was the second baseman on the most losing team in Little League baseball history, I lost sight of a fly ball in the sun and got beaned right in the forehead. I guess that explains a lot later in life now that I think about it. In my 20s, my sister's horse kicked me real hard right in the gut. Any higher and my heart probably would have stopped. Any lower and I probably would have been singing soprano for the rest of my life.
God.
In my 30s, I got hit by a car when I was crossing the street. It was my fault as I was crossing against the light. It really knocked me hell-bent for election. But I got up and brushed off and went home with a torn-up coat and kind of sore. Lucky me. In my 40s, I was in the process of tearing down an old dilapidated building and was inside tying off a cable when the building came crashing down around me and a large brick chimney just missed, falling on me by 10 feet. By now, I am beginning to think there must not be any more room in heaven or hell for me, and so I was just stuck in purgatory for a while longer. That's right.
But you're...
hell was full, Gary.
Yeah, hell is full and all the Garys are with us.
In my 50s, I got knocked down 19 stairs at my office by a couple of 100-pound concrete-lined safe, which landed on top of me.
Oh,
and
my
pinned me to the floor.
Jesus Christ, Gary.
Do you live in the Looney Tunes universe?
This guy's getting beaned on the daily.
That one was the worst. I didn't get any body parts broken and no internal injuries, but I couldn't even pick up my own feet to get into bed for about a week. Thank goodness for pain-killing drugs. And then in my 60s, I fell backwards off of a scaffold from 10 feet up and cracked my head on the concrete floor.
Oh, my God.
But that one turned out to be a fortunate fall because it forced me to go visit my doctor, who I hadn't seen in 3 years. While I was there, he determined that I had prostate cancer.
Oh.
I had just dodged another bullet. But then in my early 70s, that treatment failed and I had to have my prostate surgically removed. That surgery went well, but then I developed an internal leak that nearly killed me. One more close call late in life. I cannot tell you here what sort of event actually killed me, as I wrote this obituary before I was completely dead. Someone else will have to fill in the details later on, I guess.
Completely dead is such a great phrase.
He's onto something there.
What could kill this man?
A cold iron. A silver bullet. I really hate paying the Journal and Courier a lot of money just to let people who might be looking for me know that they can give up now. Chances are pretty good that you were not in my will anyway, so I'll try to keep the rest of this obituary as short as possible. First off, I would like to apologize to anyone who I might have offended or mistreated, especially Anoma Hargis in the sixth grade.
Yes. Oh, you got to put it in the... That's... Yeah. It'd be so good to go out, like, apologizing for all your social faux pas. Imagine how free your soul could fly.
Yes. If you knew that you had accounted for all of these things...
Yeah.
Straight to heaven.
Shannon, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I got so mad when you beat me play One Must Fall 2097. I hit you with a phone book.
The truth is that I was far from a perfect human, although I did try to learn from my mistakes and shortcomings as I grew older. I barely made it out of high school, and I couldn't pass the math classes at Purdue University, maybe due to the baseball accident. So I have been wandering around for a long time without much of a formal education. Although I did read quite a few books and news articles throughout the years, so I didn't die completely stupid, although some may not agree. I was born on May 19th, 1952, to Don and Virginie Wolfelt. They were pretty good to me most of the time, even when I didn't deserve it. My brother, Dr. Alan Wolfelt, only tried to kill me one time by attempting to beat me with a little maple rocking chair when I was 9 years old. Other than that one time, he was also pretty nice to me. My sister Kay never tried to kill me as far as I know, but it was her horse, Cricket, that kicked me real hard in my 20s and almost took me out.
Yeah.
I don't know if she had anything to do with that or not. But after about 10 minutes when I was able to move again, got up and knocked that stupid horse over the head with a 2x4 and got even with him.
Jesus!
Don't. Gary. Take it out on a horse.
Get
getting kicked in the Gary. Guts by a horse and being like,
"All right,
this ain't over."
Like taking the time to recover before getting back up. That's very good.
Waiting for his stamina bar to refill.
Today, I would probably be locked up for animal abuse, even though he started it.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I got married to Esther Chosnick sometime in January of 1982 in Las Vegas, Nevada. I can never remember the exact date. It's all such a blur now since it was such a long time ago. We never even met our witness, but we got a cheap certificate in the mail a few weeks later that said we were really married. Esther was very nice to me most of all the time, and when I spent the grocery money on tools and airplane parts. It's not likely that many men have had it as good as I have had it at home. I was well fed and well loved from start to finish. I never wanted a bunch of noisy little kids running around the house, so we had dogs instead. They hardly ever tried to bite me, so I guess they must have liked me too. As a matter of fact, I liked our dogs better than I liked most people that came into contact with me throughout my lifetime. Generally, a dog will only bite you when you have it coming. This is not the case with many people. Hopefully there is a life after death, and I will end up with Esther and all of our dogs in a sunny field of tall grass with music playing all around me. It was music that made me the happiest most of my life. Here is a list of my life's most important accomplishments. I stayed lovingly married to the same woman for a long time. I cut about 100 cords of firewood. I fixed a lot of problems for a lot of people over the last 50 years.
God damn.
I paid all of my bills with my own earnings. I only took welfare after I retired. I would like to thank those of you who loved me while I was here on Earth. It really meant a lot to me, and I appreciate you letting me love you right back. Lots of people start to become withdrawn, lonely, and depressed as they age, so the older I got, the more important it became to me to share my time and my love with my friends. Thanks for being there with me when I needed it the most. Goodbye and peace. I am hanging up now. GHW. P.S.
What a text. Yeah.
I also want you to know that I didn't intentionally vote for any socialist during my lifetime, so I am not the least bit responsible for the mess that America is in at the moment.
Absolutely unsurprising, given Gary's me fucking eulogy.
Yeah.
It is so funny to write that beautiful obituary in the end, being like, "And I never voted for a government that would help people."
As I got older, came clear to me that what really meant the most was helping others.
Except,
and also,
I wish that horse kicked you in the head, Gary.
Yeah. Oh man, this guy's like the opposite. He's like evil Kurt Vonnegut from Indiana. It's just documenting his life with this sort of like a kind of omniscience, a genial omniscience and a fairness and balance, and then being like, "Fuck socialism." Come
on. Also, we're going to start seeing like, not now, but like in our lifetime, we will start seeing millennial obituaries, and those are going to be rough. Like, I guess
I
that just happened.
My three doggos.
Yeah. My puppers. I guess I'm dead now. Orkies.
Farewell to my heckin' good wife.
Yeah, it was a heckin' good life. God. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that because I think it's very beautiful. He wants to be surrounded by music in a field with his beautiful wife, and he hates those commies that are ruining America.
Yeah.
He was probably cheering on the ICE raids like right up until he carked it.
Yeah.
When one of his planes fell on him or whatever.
it's like if you got to the end of Gladiator where he's like, he's bleeding out. And in his mind's eye, he's running his hand through
beautiful
fields
of golden wheat.
Golden wheat. Beautiful imagery. And then he just caught his breath for a little bit to be like, "By the way, fuck the French."
Jaw is fucked. To finish such a moving obituary with something like that, kind of a bit of a crime. We talk about crime in Crime Watch. Comes to us from East Idaho News.
Yes.
Idaho man gets prison time for pointing laser at helicopter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, come on, fair enough.
Iron Lung soldier.
That's a twist on an old classic. I guess helicopters are lower to the ground, so it's probably easier.
Yeah.
It'd be super
and they're also
easy
harder
to
fly,
that.
Too.
Yeah. More shit can go wrong.
Yeah.
A 31-year-old Post Falls man was sentenced to prison after being indicted for aiming a laser pointer at a helicopter. This phenomenon, of course, we have previously discussed in the episodes Yo Quiero My Fucking Money and In the Mind of a Miscreant. People love to blind pilots.
Pilots, yeah.
Yeah.
They think they've got it so good up there with their sight.
Making myself laugh imagining a Half-Life mod where, you know, when you get out on the side of the mountain, you get the laser-guided missile and you just point the laser at the helicopter and it smashes into the side of the mountain.
Aspen August Schaefer will serve 35 months in federal prison for aiming a laser pointer at an aircraft, acting U.S. Attorney Justin Watcott announced in a news release. Schaefer will serve an additional 3 years on supervised release after he is released from prison. According to court records, Schaefer was indicted in September 2024 by a grand jury and charged with aiming a laser pointer at an aircraft in violation of federal law. On August 16th, 2024, Schaefer was out with friends and pointed a bright green laser at the Kootenai County Sheriff's Office helicopter as it flew overhead.
Oh, shit. He got one of the online ones that are too powerful.
Yes. One of the super extremely cool ones.
Yeah.
Like the Predator uses in Alien
versus
like
the Predator. Yeah.
Yep. Wait, no, like the humans use in Aliens versus Predator. The laser struck the helicopter multiple times, and police reports say it impaired the vision of the pilot, the sergeant, and the deputy who were on board.
That's a big laser.
You don't want to get the copter.
No.
If that's what
where
you're
fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your mistake.
Yeah, because they're going to land that. And they're going to come after you.
They will also immediately, instantly class it as an attempt on their lives.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. If it was like a news chopper or whatever, the traffic chopper, they'd just be like, another day in the skies, huh? Another guy trying to blind us. The cops, they're not like that.
Yeah. Hey, but if the cops are driving the Klein Vision air car, they could land, turn their sirens on.
Get you straight away.
Or they could drive... They could fly to an airport and then drive from the airport to where you are and then get you straight away.
Yeah.
The helicopter lost altitude, but the pilot regained control and brought the helicopter back up to altitude. So that was a good hit. That was a solid hit.
Yeah.
Officers tracked the car Schaefer was in and arrested him, learning he had a blood alcohol level of 0.11 when he was booked into the jail.
Ooh. You drunk lasering, brother?
He was in a car? And he had a blood alcohol level of 0.11 and he got a direct hit on the helicopter and he blinded all three people.
Hate to see what this guy could do if he got his act together.
Yeah.
Right?
Suits are visiting him in the...
You've got two choices.
In the holding cell.
Either we send you to the slammer.
Yeah.
Or you start a new life as an experimental US laser soldier.
Join the elite crack team we have. Standing in Florida, pointing lasers at Cuba.
101st pilot blinders. Oldest guy to ever go through basic training, but god damn it, we need your skills. That was definitely an episode of the podcast, Bunta Vista. Thank you so much for joining us here in this bonus episode. We loved having you. Live show coming up May 31st, Polonia. Starts about 7:30 p.m. I think it'll be on your ticket. You can get tickets at buenavista.com/live. Keep making people in your life listen to this podcast. Somehow. Find a way. We need you.
Figure it out. Become more persuasive. Read a book about how to become a more persuasive person.
How to win friends and influence people to listen to a podcast.
Because then you can chat about it. You don't have to listen to this alone. It doesn't have to be like just a little private experience for you.
It doesn't have to be shameful.
You don't have to go through this alone.
Yes. You can listen to Bunta Vista with a friend. Maybe like a buddy that you just see sometimes. And maybe you're like, it's 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. You've had a couple
come
of beers.
Come over. Listen to a podcast.
Hey, you want to come over and listen to Bunta Vista?
Oh, is that a thing people do?
The podcast listening in tandem?
Yeah.
Maybe, but I don't like to think about it.
It seems like a private activity to me.
Only in cars. I don't think it's ever happening, like, at home.
Yeah, in cars, they're trapped in there with you as well. But, yeah, I guess you have friends over, you put some music on. You have friends over, you put a podcast on. That's demented.
Well, I think shortly afterwards demented. You no longer have friends over.
That's evil.
There are a bunch of couples that listen to this podcast, but, like, there's no fucking way that you're, like, sitting down on the couch side by side looking at the wall while
drinking while a glass the podcast of wine, drinking a beautiful Gamay.
Yes, yes.
Listening to Bunta Vista.
You're having a little GSM and listening to Bunta Vista on the wireless, and you're holding hands, staring at the wall, not at each other.
I am inviting people over for dinner. I'm putting an episode of the show on and then loudly shushing anybody who tries to make conversation during the episode.
Yeah. They're asking you about your day. Like, shut up.
Maybe if you listened to the show, you'd hear me talking about my day. Now I got to rewind it.
Yeah. I don't want to tell you. I've already told a couple thousand people.
Yeah.
You could be one of them. Yeah. So work on that. We'll see you on the free episode. Stay safe out there.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.